And today on Fitter Happier, we have Jane Armstrong, sorry. Don't know what I've got written down James for.
Clinical nurse manager at Royal Perth Hospital. Jane, how are you going?
Ah, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. So I mentioned just earlier about some of the stats. Let's start with the stats.
Okay, stats. Cold, hard stats. So we're talking in the community, we're talking about 2 in 30. And we're just fiddling with the controls at the moment.
We're all good.
Ah, that's it. I can hear you now. Hello.
Hello.
Love those technical difficulties. Okay, so 2 in 30 identify as LGBTI in the Australian community. So, suicide attempts. LGBTI young people aged 16 to 27 are 5 times more likely to try and kill themselves. Transgender people aged 18 and over are nearly 11 times more likely. And those who identify as intersex, aged 16 and over, are nearly 6 times more likely to try and kill themselves. Stats are pretty shocking.
Yeah, that is extremely confronting. Mm. And I think just for the people who didn't hear before, I think we were having a little bit of a trouble with my mic, but community attitudes towards the LGBTIQ community have improved significantly in recent years, but, you know, discrimination and prejudice still remain. So these stats, like, are so confronting, and I think it's something that we really needs to come to the forefront of discussion in our community. And Jane Armstrong is here to tell us a little bit more about it today. So, Jane, let's talk about what barriers do LGBTI people have and how is that impacting on their health?
I think one of the biggest things that I'm seeing and hearing from within the health industry is there's still a lot of stigma. There's still a lot of shame. Young people out there are still thinking that it's still not okay to come out as LGBTI. I think it's easier now than what it used to be, and that's thanks to our brothers and sisters that we stand on the shoulders of who've gone before us. But it's still tough. There's still a lot of abuse, still a lot of harassment. The same-sex marriage debate has a lot to answer for. We did see a spike in suicide attempts and also successful suicides, which was incredibly, incredibly sad. We still see things like, for example, my stepson goes to a school in South River and was approached by one of his fellow 11-year-old classmates and said, "Your mum's a gay, so therefore when you grow up you'll be a fag."
That's disgusting.
Yeah. And this is the attitude. Now, an 11-year-old doesn't automatically think of that sort of stuff, so where's she hearing it from?
Yeah, wow. 11, yeah. They should still be playing with Barbies.
Correct. But can you imagine if, for example, he was questioning, he may be, we don't know, what sort of damage that does? So she had to have heard that from somewhere. Now her parents would fall into the same age bracket that I am, which is my early 40s.
I gave my age away today, yeah. Too, accidentally.
But we have to be very, very careful because, obviously young people and kids are sponges and they do hear things. And if we are spruiking and labelling and bad-mouthing others, then they're going to pick up on that and think that's okay.
So I just want to reiterate a point that I said earlier, that these poorer health outcomes are not a result of someone's sexuality or their gender identity. And, it's related to broader issues of discrimination and exclusion and that isolation that you were just talking about, which is affecting our members of the LGBTI community. So why are people in that community at higher risk? Why?
Why is it so? It is very frustrating. I think it's still that sense of isolation. It's still that sense of I'm alone in this. It's still that sense of it's not okay. We're very, very fortunate that we're still seeing, more so now, people who are openly LGBTI, people at the Commonwealth Games, our athletes, openly LGBTI, people on television and some of our bigger movie stars who are LGBTI. And that's helping, but still, you know, in the suburbs, living in the burbs, it's not as easy.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Rainbow Tick standards. Mm-hmm. So what is that?
So it's an accreditation for a service. It's basically about inclusivity that any organisation can aim for. And it has six standards, and they're inclusive practice standards. So it's organisational capability, workforce development, consumer participation, a welcoming and accessible organisation, disclosure and documentation, and culturally safe and acceptable services. So it's basically about quality. How can we provide the best possible service to a client who does identify as LGBTI?
All right, and how can we get in touch with that? How can we get onto that?
So any access, any organisation can access that. Royal Perth Bentley Group are currently undergoing reaching for those standards, and we're aiming to have those completed by the end of the year. It was developed in response to the growing number of requests from consumers who really, really wanted to have, I guess, a touch point, someone that they can identify with on the ground floor, someone they can go up to and not feel questioned or that they're not normal, particularly in mental health standards. It's making sure that our clients are able to have someone there who has an empathy or an understanding and drives inclusivity.
All right, so we've talked about mental health. Now let's talk about sexual health. Let's talk about the LGBTI community. Where can they go and how can we look after their sexual health, our sexual health? How can everyone stay safe?
So I think the biggest thing is reaching out to... There's a lot of resources out there at the moment, particularly in Perth. One of the biggest resources we have, obviously, is Living Proud and the Freedom Centre. Now, the Freedom Centre is for young people up to, I think it's around about 26, where you can go and talk all things sexuality. I think one of the biggest things that the general population need to remember is that sexuality is not tied to gender. You can be non-cisgender, which means that you don't identify as the body that you were born in, and still be considered to be heterosexual, which confuses people. But I think as soon as people can reach out to the likes of the Freedom Centre, Living Proud, use your resources that are widely available on the internet. The WA AIDS Council... ACON in the eastern states have a huge resource base. But as far as looking after your health and your sexual health, make sure that you start with your GP.
And so let's talk about people who, general population who might not know much about the LGBTI community, mm-hmm. and want to get involved and want to know a little bit more. How can they go about finding out more about the LGBTI community?
9 times out of 10, there'll be someone in their close family or friend circle that will identify as LGBTI. But again, Freedom Centre, even getting a hold of the great mag called Out in Perth. Just educate yourself. There's so much stuff on the internet, or the interwebs, as a friend of mine calls it. There's lots out there. But just talk to people. Someone will be in their close circle. I can pretty much guarantee it.
And if anybody does want any help or has any other questions, anyone can head over to healthyway.wa.gov.au.
Absolutely.
Can jump on there. There's lots of information there. And Jane Armstrong, clinical nurse manager at Royal Perth Hospital, has been in with us on Fitter Happier today talking about LGBTI health and what we can do for our LGBTI community. Jane, thank you so much for being on the mag.
Thank you for having me.
And if you wanted to head on over to our website if you need any links to get some more information, or if you need some help with anything, head on over to rtrfm.com.au or that healthyway.wa.gov.au.